This is The Beat on 720 WGN and on demand at WGNradio.com.
720 WGN, we're rolling on here. The Beat with you till 7 o'clock. And then I believe the Saturday Night Special is rolling up with Amy Guth. Joe Brand, what's going on, my friend?
Not much. What's going on with you? It's the Mark Carmen Saturday show.
Did I hire you as an intern? What's our relationship?
If you want to verbalize it as you hiring me, sure, why not?
Did I interview you?
Never interviewed me, no.
I didn't.
There were times where I wrote your sports updates.
Wrote my sports updates?
Yes.
What year was that?
That was 2014.
Wow.
That was my first year interning here.
I didn't know that anyone ever wrote anything for me. That's kind of amazing. I feel slightly better.
I don't even know if you were supposed to have them just written for you, too. I just think, hey, what are you doing, kid?
Did you write him for Cap?
I wrote him for Cap.
You wrote him for Cap.
But there were a couple days you filled in for him, and you were just hanging out in the other side of the building. And,
wow. I kind of feel.
Hey, I was happy to do it.
I appreciate it. How come you're not out of King County tonight doing shoveling snow or something?
Yeah, I was going to say,
your duties?
Have you looked out the window? No, we pulled tarp late last night. So,
Do you pull the tarp?
I do when I can.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. You know, it's you sit in the booth all summer long. You got to get some cardio and some calisthenics in some way. So that's what I do.
There's a beautiful thing. Hey, by the way, the Bears draft's going on or has gone on. So let's bring in our guy Adam Hoge, second time today on the station, out at Hallis Hall. Hoge, did you ever pull the tarp anywhere in your illustrious career?
No, and I also never wrote an update for you. That's for sure.
It's refreshing, I'll tell you.
I did hire Adam Hoge. I distinctly remember an interview where I'm sitting in the room like, yeah, you're already better at this than I am, and you'll probably pass me in the industry, and this is a bad decision for me because this guy's going to be way better. But you're hired. Go ahead. You're too good at what you do coming out of Wisconsin. That was a great moment in time, Adam Hoge.
Yeah, but, you know, I think Enick claims some of that, too.
Oh, he totally takes it.
You guys got to fight it out for that one.
Yeah, see, but Dave wasn't there. I just told Dave.
It was one of those things where Carm's just there acting like he was Dave until Dave finally walked in.
I mean, at the end of the day, Dave's the sports director, so he gets credit, but he had me on the front lines, just for the record. I want that known.
You were like the contract negotiator.
Right.
You know, doing the work for the general manager.
All right, let's talk about this draft here, Hoge. Mm-hmm. What do we got? We got a Kenneth, or am I right here? Kareth White, number 222 overall. Before that, it was a cornerback Duke Shelley, Riley Ridley out of Georgia in the fourth round, and David Montgomery. And then the last pick, which I did not write down, who's our last guy? The cornerback out of Valdosta State?
Steven Denmark, cornerback. He's 6'4", 200 pounds,
wow.
Former wide receiver, but yeah, 6'4". Pretty crazy size for a cornerback, and you know, just kind of reading up on him here, the athleticism is off the charts. Was not at the combine, but would have tested very, very well. So seems like one of these developmental projects with a lot of upside. But you know, at that size, be very interesting to see. And you know, playing at the D2 level too, it's really hard to, you know, watch the tape and see how it's going to translate. Kind of similar to Adam Shaheen a couple years ago when they drafted him. But it, you know, an interesting guy to watch over the next couple years.
But yeah, so how does that work? Does he go into the draft saying, I want to try defensive back, or is this the Bears' idea? I mean, because like you said, he was a wide receiver in college.
Well, no, I should clarify, he started as a wide receiver, then transitioned to corner while he was at Valdosta State. So he did play cornerback there. And you know, from the highlights you can find, and granted, most highlight reels, they're all, you know, positive things, right? But he does show off a lot of ball skills. You would think he would have that as a former wide receiver, and just the size, you know, 6'4" is huge at the NFL level for being a corner. So imagine at the D2 level when he's covering wide receivers that he's taller than. Probably pretty much most everyone he covered, he was probably taller than. That's a very interesting dynamic when you're trying to look at that film.
I mean, every general manager right now is saying they had a great draft. They love their guys. We're going to win the Super Bowl, or we're going to make the playoffs, or we're going to win more games. But what do you think Ryan Pace is most happy about right now, Adam?
Well, I think they're very happy they got their running back last night, David Montgomery. And my guess is when we talk to him, and by the way, Matt Nagy will also be speaking tonight as well. Now, they have a lot of undrafted free agents to sign because there's a lot of room on the 90-man roster still. So they're probably going to sign between 18 and 20 guys here the next few hours, so it might be a while before we talk to them. But when they come down there here, I'm sure they're going to be very happy they managed to get Riley Ridley in the fourth round, somebody that I was surprised lasted that long, very good route runner. And then, you know, the last three picks are kind of guys that are off the grid a little bit, although Duke Shelley, the cornerback out of Kansas State, was a four-year starter at Kansas State, played more on the outside. I think he projects more in the nickel, but that's a spot where the Bears are going to be looking for some competition for Buster Skrine. As we all know, free agents don't always work out, and you need to have a contingency plan if there's an injury or anything like that. So Duke Shelley will probably be, you know, competing there. And then, you know, Kareth White Jr. from Florida Atlantic, the other seventh-round pick, is a very interesting guy because Devin Singletary got all the hype coming out of Florida Atlantic this year. But one of the knocks on Singletary was that his production dipped this year. And part of that was because Lane Kiffin, the head coach at FAU, could not keep White off the field. He was that good. And so, you know, I don't know if he's going to end up being as good as Devin Singletary at the next level, but he is a home run hitter. He's got explosiveness. You know, he kind of covers the areas that Montgomery doesn't have, and he's also a kick returner. So I imagine he'll be involved in that part of the game for the Bears, too, as they're looking to upgrade kick returner. Of course, they also signed Cordell Patterson.
So when you talk about Duke Shelley and Steven Denmark, there are a couple of cornerbacks or defensive back guys. You get that late into the draft, and like you've mentioned, that's typically the time where teams are looking for just the most talented players. But Duke Shelley is coming off of an injury. Steven Denmark, hard, you know, like you said, was at first listed as a wide receiver. And wouldn't the defensive back be the most talented part of the Bears system right now? I mean, do you see any kind of contrast there?
Yeah, but it was a position I thought they needed to address because, you know, Prince Mukamara is getting older. You know, as they have to sign more and more guys and work on more contract extensions here with some of this young talent that they've successfully drafted over the last few seasons, they're going to be short on cap space. So, unfortunately, you're going to have to pick areas where you might have to replace a guy, and that could be Prince Mukamara a year from now. So, that's something to watch, and I think that's something where going into the draft, I thought they needed to add cornerback depth both inside and outside, and I think they may have done that here with Duke Shelley. I got to be honest. I mean, this whole Steven Denmark seems like a pretty big project here, and I'm really fascinated to see what Pace and Nagy have to say about him and where they project him to go, or you know how much he can contribute quickly. You know, maybe it's somebody Nagy even wants to throw in on offense sometimes. Seriously, I mean, you can't rule that out.
Yeah, no doubt.
The way he operates. So that'll be fascinating to see. But I do think that it was good to add a couple corners, one that probably projects more outside, one that projects more inside. But it is surprising, very surprising, I'd say, that they added two running backs in this draft. And we all thought they would add one. But to add two, that's very interesting. But they do complement each other nicely. We just can't forget about Tariq Cohen, though, because he's still, you know, the most explosive option on the roster.
Adam Hoge out at Hallis Hall with us here on 720 WGN. Okay, so we all thought they were going to add a running back, but I think a lot of people thought they were going to add a kicker too, and they didn't draft one. I know Tariq Cohen is saying that, why don't you make him the kicker, but yeah, that's not going to happen. You surprised? Just by that, yeah, it sounds like you're not really surprised they didn't use a pick on a kicker.
Well, not really, because I've never been that big of a fan of drafting kickers. I think, you know, it's just as much of an unknown drafting a guy who, you know, one of these guys that's you would call draftable compared to the guys you would just sign. And maybe the Bears will sign one, you know, at Cole Tracy, I believe, is still out there out of LSU. He could be somebody to look at as an undrafted free agent. But, you know, something happened in the fifth round that was a little bit surprising, and that's that two kickers came off the board in the fifth round. So that may have influenced why the Bears did not draft a kicker. I don't know where they had him on their draft board, but Matt Gay, the kicker out of Utah, somebody Northwestern saw in their bowl game in the Holiday Bowl. He came in as a guy. I think I actually put him in one of my Bears mock drafts in the seventh round. You know, somebody who I thought was draftable. And then Austin Siebert from Oklahoma, he went to the Browns, and both those guys came off the board in the fifth round. And I wouldn't have reached for a kicker that early. So those guys came off the board. Obviously, they didn't think that Cole Tracy was worth drafting. Now we'll find out if he's worth signing. Otherwise, you know, there are three kickers still on this roster, yep. And it's going to be a competition.
David Montgomery joins Leonard Floyd, Mitch Trubisky, Eddie Jackson, and Anthony Miller as players that Ryan Pace has traded up to obtain.
Don't forget Nick Kwiatkowski.
Right, right, him too. So does this kind of eagerness that Ryan Pace has garnered throughout all these drafts, is that any reason for Bears fans to be, you know, a little skeptical, or does the track record just speak for itself?
Well, I guess, what do you mean? I mean,
like, just, could this ever backfire on him being known as the GM that will do whatever he can to get the guy he wants, for being known as that guy throughout the league?
I don't think it hurts you that the other team, all the other teams in the league are going to, you know, be weary of you trading up. I mean, that's kind of that threat you could also use to your advantage a little bit. Now, it's now 9 draft day trades for him. In 5 years, and really just all of them were in the last 4 years, but he's been the GM for 5 drafts now. 6 of them have been trade ups, and then three of those times he traded down. So he's done a little bit of both, obviously more on the trading up. He's not afraid to go get his guy. And I like it. I mean, so many of these picks are, they don't, more times than not, when we're talking about mid to late round picks, they're not going to work out, even when you're a team that's drafting, you know, somewhat well in these spots, like Ryan Pace has. So I'm never worried about a 4th round pick like in 2020 to make sure you get your guy in the 3rd round, which is what happened last night when they went up to get David Montgomery, because I think it's pretty obvious he would not have been there at number 87. So he went up and got him at 73.
He loves David Montgomery. I mean, some of his comments, and I have not been studying David Montgomery every day. Let me be out there with that. But his story of a kid who came from absolutely nothing in the roughest parts of Cincinnati, their water wouldn't be running, I'm reading about today, and they would go and buy gallons of water and they'd boil it so they could take a bath and get clean. He has a brother who is in prison because he got caught up in the gang world, and he's a guy that just was counted out by the world, and somehow, some way, got himself to Iowa State, and now he's a Chicago Bear, and it just seems that he does everything the right way. And then you also talk about the fact that on the field, I mean, Ryan Pace's comment, you start with the instincts and contact balance. He breaks a ton of tackles. He's the kind of guy, they're always bouncing off him. I mean, this seems like a guy that Bears fans could be real excited about here down the line.
Yeah, I think so. I think the ability is there, but really the fit, there's two big fits here, and I think one has to do with more with Ryan Pace and the other has to do more with Matt Nagy, although they certainly intersect. When it comes to Pace and this culture that he's really tried to build from day one here, getting rid of certain guys and then, you know, replacing them with good culture guys that are going to work hard. I mean, that's what David Montgomery really is. I mean, this is somebody that's had to fight for everything, not only in football, but in his life. And I think that's certainly shown in what happened at Iowa State for him, where he, you know, he really took it upon himself to lead that team and win ball games. So I think that was a big fit culture-wise. But also you look schematically in Matt Nagy's system, and here's a guy who can run routes, who has good hands, and still do the things that Jordan Howard did that were so valuable, which is pick up yards when necessary. And I think he's even he's got a little bit more ability I think he can change gears in tight spaces, whereas Jordan Howard was just sort of run forward, get what you can, every once in a while break a bigger run. I mean, Montgomery doesn't have the explosive speed, but he does have the ability to change gears and turn, you know, sometimes a 3, 4, 5 yard run into 15. And I think that, you know, you add that to his receiving ability, and he's a great fit for what the Bears, because remember, there's a ton of running backs here now. There's probably, you know, we can look at the 4 guys who are probably going to make this team, you know, considering they use a draft pick on Kareth White too. And so the carries are, you're not going to really see guys that are going to get 20 carries a game. That's not going to happen. And I don't think that's what they're going to ask David Montgomery to do. But if he's a threat out of that backfield alongside Tariq Cohen, it's going to make them a lot easier to play together on the same down sometimes. And it just makes this Matt Nagy offense that much harder to defend.
Right, and listen, we didn't even mention they went out and they signed Mike Davis. I mean, they like him too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Well, that's what I mean. Mike Davis, you know, obviously Tariq Cohen, Then they draft two running backs. I mean, that is not a guarantee that Kareth White makes the team. Obviously, he just got drafted a couple hours ago. But you know, usually draft picks have a chance. And Taequann Mizell, if I'm him today, I'm questioning my role going into training camp.
Yeah, I think that Kareth is probably just you do the math. It sounds like a guy that's going to be on the practice squad. But regardless, all right. I think that Bears fans are very, very excited about what's coming here in 2019. Tariq Cohen, also for the record, he had 99 rushes last year. Okay, so let's do the math on that. 16 divided by 99. Joe Brand, you're a smart guy. That would be what?
Seven?
Is that seven? Is that
no, that's way less than seven.
Well,
it would
10
be
would
five?
Be, 10 would be 160.
5, 50, 30,
half,
80.
Yeah, so we're at we're about six carries a game here, team. Six and a half. So it's not a ton, but he catches the ball too. So how many carries everyone's going to get, they'll have to figure that out. But this is today's NFL. You're not exactly handing out the football a ton. Anyway, Adam, you're going to the Super Bowl this year is my whole point on this. That's what
wow.
I'm feeling.
I'll take it.
Well, doesn't he go anyway?
That's true, he does. But you're going.
Congratulations.
You're going this year to actually with the Bears.
Okay.
Damn it.
Okay, I'll take it.
I mean, how long have you been covering the team now?
This is year nine.
And how many playoff games have you covered?
One.
I don't mean to laugh at that, but that's amazing.
I
9 years, one playoff game?
Yeah. Well, not including the Super Bowls that they were not playing in.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
One playoff game.
One.
One
yeah.
Cody Parkey.
And they lost that game.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
In a game they probably should have, could have won. At
By the way, I love how many months or days has it been since that game? I mean, you could take the end of the Hampo Biancaz show from that playoff game and just cut it straight to where OB started talking today. Earlier, and it would have sounded like it was the same show. I mean, he just picked up right where he left off.
Did you want
just and it was still the post game show from that? I mean,
full mode
and I don't
too.
Blame him because it's it still hurts. Obviously,
did you watch my Instagram the Carm 23 out there?
I did.
Okay, because.
Yeah, same thing. I love how the transition was. OB, great to see you too.
It's for those who get a kick out of OB, which is I think everyone. It's worth a trip to the old Carm Instagram because I was like, so what do you think about the pick? And he just went right into the Eagles
straight
game.
Into. They scored one touchdown against the Eagles. You got to fix the offense.
He's the best. All right. Thanks for the double duty today, Adam Hoge. And yes, we'll be waiting on the Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace discussion at the end of the day here. So I hope that's before midnight so you can get home.
Yeah, me too. Me too, guys. But have a good show.
Yeah,
thanks.
We will.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, Adam Hoge out at Hallis Hall, 720 WGN. Let's take a quick timeout. We're going to talk a bunch of baseball here coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. And yes, there is a guy who is making his way back to the Cubs, and it'll be very interesting what the Cubs do with the one Addison Russell. Brando, we're going to kick that around coming up here, 720 WGN. Let's talk a little Cubs baseball. Little Addison Russell coming up after 6 o'clock. Joe Brand, this is your opportunity to tell us everything that's going on with the Kane County Cougars right now.
Yeah, referencing the last 815 text, whatever happened to Wayne Gretzky's son who used to play for the Kane County Cougars? Trevor Gretzky was a Kane County Cougar in 2013, 2000. That was it. He got traded to the Angels organization for Mike Socia's kid. He played for the Angels single-A affiliate for a couple of years, and then he got released.
And for those who don't know Joe Brand, I'm sure most WGN listeners do at this point, but for those just checking the show out for the first time, you, my friend, are the voice of the Kane County Cougars for how many years now?
This is my sixth year.
6 years on the job. How many years did Dave Wills do it?
I think only four or five, maybe.
So you're not on the Wills launch to MLB play-by-play spot just quite yet.
Not quite yet. No, I was under Wayne for a year. Wayne Randazzo, WGN alum as well.
He's doing okay for himself.
He's doing all right. Yeah, doing some Mets games. So this is technically my fifth as the main guy. I was technically Wayne's number two, as we call in the industry. my first year, but yeah, you're number six.
And this is not a competition, and Dave was a little bit more seasoned when he got the job than you were. You were a young guy right out of college, basically, just launching yourself into play-by-play spot. Congratulations. Good job.
Thank you. Yeah, no, absolutely. Dave was a former player, too. He coached a little bit, so he knew the game in and out. I just want to talk about it. I just want to say, you know, what the kids' pets' names are and talk about that in the third inning.
Best talent on the team right now?
Right now, we got a really good pitching staff. Top three ERA in all of the minor leagues. We've got eight of the top 30 Diamondback prospects. We got a Chicago kid, Alec Thomas. He went to Mount Carmel. He's 18 years old. He plays center field. He's pretty much a five-tool player. He's really something to look at. And then we just got these two new guys, Blaze Alexander and Buddy Kennedy, two awesome baseball names. A couple of stud infielders. A lot of talent in the Diamondback system now. It's just finally replenishing itself after all the moves that they've made the past couple of years trying to compete.
And the best reason to come out and see a game?
Family atmosphere.
Let's you promote the product here.
Firework Fridays and Firework Saturdays. We've got dollar beer nights on Thursdays. We've got kids eat free on Sundays. It's
dollar beer is good.
Family atmosphere. You know, you just come out and check out the ball game. The kids don't know they're not major leaguers, so come on and check it out.
No, they
stop
don't.
By the booth. We'll say hi.
There you go. All right, we're going to talk about Addison Russell coming back here. Interesting stuff going on. With the Cubs, who, by the way, are playing the Diamondbacks on the Major League field tonight out in Arizona. News is next, 720 WGN. This is The Beat, 720 WGN. Joe Brand in studio. My name is Mark Carmen. Amy Guth coming up at 7. This coming Friday, May the 3rd, the Chicago Cubs will be playing at home. After a little brief road trip here, they're in Arizona for three, and then they're moving on to Seattle for two, and then they're back home after an off day on Thursday. Why is Friday a big day? Well, Friday's a big day because it's the first game that Addison Russell will be eligible to play in the big leagues since his 40-game suspension, which happened last September the 18th, for all the issues that came to life with his ex-wife, Melissa Righty, who he is now divorced and is now has a new girlfriend and now has a new child as well, 5-month-old. And Addison, just to get everything up to speed here, has been playing rookie ball out in Arizona, and then he made his way to AAA to play with the Iowa Cubs, getting ready for next Friday. And the Cubs have been behind the scenes, Joe Brand, and in front of the scenes, I should say, saying that we want to be an organization that doesn't just kick a guy like this to the side, but actually does every bit that we can to rehabilitate him and have him be a credit to society and ultimately a credit to the organization as well. And I do applaud the Cubs for that. But it is a very tricky situation here. Number one, the Cubs don't necessarily need Addison Russell on the field right now. So there's that. Number two, as a fan, you want your team to win, but it just feels a little bit off when he shows up in Iowa in his first at-bat and he gets a standing ovation. Like, if I'm at Wrigley Field on Friday and Addison Russell comes to the plate, I'm not going to boo him, but I'm certainly not going to cheer him. And I don't know how much playing time this guy deserves. Javi Baez has been playing out of his mind at shortstop. Arguably a better shortstop, certainly a better arm. But that's also like all secondary to how you bring this guy back to the team. It's a very tricky time for the Cubs.
Here's the quote from Theo Epstein from late this past week. When we made the decision that we made to try to become a small part of the solution and to invest a positive outcome for him, but more importantly, the people around him in his life, and then hopefully playing a small part to increase domestic violence prevention here at the Cubs organization and a organization-wide basis. Like you said, it's very moving when the team wants to take it upon themselves to right the ship. I know it's the easy decision to kick somebody to the curb, move on, say we're not dealing with somebody who acts that way, which is a totally fair assessment and a totally fair action, and I know plenty of Cub fans want that to happen. And I'm not saying that the Cubs have done the right thing, but I think their intentions are the right way to go. And also, something different that other teams aren't doing, because they're actually trying to be progressive and trying to right the ship and trying to make good out of it. You know, if something bad happens and you just point your finger at how bad that person is the whole time, it doesn't make you a bad person, but it doesn't make the situation any better. And I feel like this is what the Cubs are trying to do, is fix the situation by being or surrounding Addison Russell at all times, both on the field and off the field, to try and make sure that these types of actions are depleted.
We'd like to have this conversation with you, by the way. It's 312-981-7200. Your phone calls, your texts are welcome here. And I know that this is...
We're going to get a lot of the one side of we don't need them, especially because of the baseball factor. And well, that's the thing.
So, but okay, let's rewind back then. And you go back to 2016. It's 108 years since the Cubs have won the World Series. They're past the All-Star break. They know they're right there, and they decide to trade one of their top prospects at the time, Gleyber Torres, to the New York Yankees for Aroldis Chapman, who's going to close for you, who at the time had been suspended for a month, 30 days, because he had fired a gun in his club in the garage.
Oh, that too, yeah.
In the garage at his not at anybody, but
right.
But he had domestic violence issues. The Cubs went out and they signed him. And at the time, I was saying, look, man, if the Cubs do what they want to do this year, that's going to be the guy that's on the mound for you getting the final out. Now, it didn't work out that way because he was overused by Joe Maddon, and we don't need to get into all that. But he was on the mound in Game 7. That's exactly how it was supposed to play out. And I was at those games. Cub fans were just like any, and I don't want to, if it was Cub fans, Sox fans, any fan in any stadium, everyone's on their feet rooting for the guy. And it just feels off, right? And no one's a perfect person, but when you have it out in front of you, it changes things. And with Addison Russell, if we actually had video or audio of what had happened, I don't think he's coming back to play at Wrigley Field on Friday. I really don't.
Yeah, I think you're right, because it hits a lot harder when that happens. And that's what's a shame, is that's what it takes a lot of time, is to have the physical or audibly evidence to sway people one way or the other. It's unfortunate that that's the kind of world we live in right now. I always wondered, why can't someone with a bad background, let's use Aroldis Chapman as an example. He comes out of the bullpen. Everyone, no one cheers, no one jeers. Everyone just sits in silence. And then he comes to the mound, he strikes a batter out, then you cheer.
Right, you're cheering the result, you're not cheering the player.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know, and again, there's no right way to approach the situation, but I always wondered, you know, why can't that ever be the route? And I agree, I'm really interested to see what would happen if Addison Russell returns to Wrigley Field. I don't think he'll get a standing ovation like he did in Iowa. And
Cub fans have been, as far as people coming back to the club, this is a lot different, but like, I remember when Alex Gonzalez came back to Wrigley Field. This is the guy that booted a routine double play ball in Game 6 when they're trying to win the World Series in 03. He boots it. Steve Bartman happened before that, and everybody blamed Bartman. Alex Gonzalez comes back to Wrigley Field as, I think, a member of the Blue Jays.
Sounds right.
They cheer him. Now batting Alex Gonzalez. And like,
Expos? Wasn't it the Garcia Parra deal?
No, I don't think that's right.
Okay.
Maybe, I could be wrong.
Sorry, another sidetrack.
Regardless, they cheered him. I'm like sitting there, why are you, of the one guy not to cheer coming back here,
right.
This dude cost you the World Series. What are you doing cheering him? This is totally different with Addison, but I'm going to bet that that he gets at least half cheers coming up. And I don't know.
And it's such a big topic, and it's such a, unfortunately, such a relevant topic, because it's happening in multiple sports in multiple cities. And now, unfortunately, this is coming up with Kansas City. And now that this is an instance where we have audible evidence about what happened, and it just hits home a lot harder.
So Tyreek Hill is a young player in the NFL who's a stud receiver, you know, fast as can be. And he has imploded his entire career because he's allegedly, I guess we have to say, is abusing his child. So this audio came out this week.
He is terrified of you, and you say that he respects you, but it's not respect. It's terrified. He is terrified of you.
You need to be terrified of me too.
So there's Tyreek, and
just the phrase "he needs to be terrified" is just, it sounds so morbid and brainwashed and just so.
I mean, the kid's showing up with a broken arm, and that audio, that was really.
It goes a little bit further. Isn't there something about how he makes his child open his arms so he can punch him in the chest? And I mean,
right?
These are tactics that are clearly learned because they're cynical, though.
Right. The audio goes in where he makes him open up his chest so he can hit him in the arm when the kid's not doing what his father wants him to do.
Mm-hmm.
The case has been reopened now. And we don't have anything like that with Addison, but I can tell you this. I knew back in 2016 when the Cubs were making their run to the World Series, and Addison was right in the thick of it playing shortstop for me. He had a huge game
right.
in Game 6. Hit a 3-run homer, I want to say.
Grand slam.
Yeah, just enormous mm-hmm. performance. And he had a big homer against the Dodgers, too, when they were down 2-1. This was going on then. I knew about it.
Tyreek Hill or Addison Russell?
Addison Russell.
Okay.
Not that I was there or witnessed it, but I had a contact who knew that off the field there were some things with Addison Russell. Now maybe the Cubs didn't know about it then, although I do wonder, like if Mark Harmon has heard stuff, you would think that perhaps people within the organization had heard the same stuff. Now it finally comes out after Melissa Wright goes public and writes something, and then the Cubs have to handle it.
Well, because it first came out in 2017.
Right.
On an Instagram comment from Melissa Reedy's friend. And then she even, and I'm not saying she changed her mind or whatever, but this is what happened. She did deny it, correct?
Yeah, right. They were not
at that point.
And they weren't getting cooperation for a long time. So
right.
It makes it a very.
Because
challenging.
Then, right.
Thing
and,
to
and
handle.
Then finally, when she is. Worked up the courage to express what has happened, and that's the thing. Once you write down the examples, once you really just allow the person to visualize what is going on, it hits home a lot harder. And that's why it's unfortunate that evidence is a lot of the times the swaying factor to allow people what to think, because some people still live in the day and age where, oh, it's what he said or she said, but it's once you really humanize it, it goes a lot further.
Yes, and it gets more and more uncomfortable when you really
right.
like, okay, is this somebody that I can willingly get myself to go and root for and or just want around, period. Now I am Mr. Second Chance
right.
for people, but on the other hand, sometimes when you're put in that position, this is not your standard job. This is a huge responsibility. You're a public figure. And if you go this afoul, then maybe you don't deserve a second chance. I don't care how much your talent is. But in this sports world, especially in the NFL, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and in baseball, if you're talented enough to hit a ball a long way, we are going to find opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. So I'm just curious, 312-981-7200, how people are feeling about it, whether they're excited to see him on the field or at least open to cheering for him, or is it something that you're just going to feel like you have to look the other way on Friday when he makes his way back to the Cubs? Seemingly, he'll be activated on Friday. That's when he can be against the Cardinals. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, this is the B. Mark Harmon, Joe Brand with you till 7 o'clock. I can see Amy Goof. She is warming up in the proverbial WGN bullpen. Like that, Brand?
She's been living. Yeah, I do. She's been living here today all day too.
She's been here all day.
She was here at noon for an hour, and then she even said she's going to come back for the night shift.
Hardest working woman in radio, outside of Roe Coleman, who I've been paying attention to also, who's been here for a while, getting ready for the show. All right, 312-981-7200. Addison Russell will be back with the Cubs this week, playing the Cardinals at Wrigley Field, asking you whether or not you will cheer for him if you're going out to the game on Friday and or any game really this year. Now batting, Addison Russell. What's up, Claire? Welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hi. If Addison has been found guilty of striking a woman or a child, he should not be playing, period.
Well, there haven't been charges on him, Claire.
Well, then somebody needs to do some investigation because there's a five-year-old dead in Crystal Lake that nobody knew was being beaten.
Yeah, okay, and that's a, and appreciate the call, Claire, and that's an absolutely tragic story that we've been doing, you know, we've been covering all week here. This is not the exact same. It's not to that level. I mean, this is not, there's nobody, look, what Addison is accused of is, you know,
that may have been our fault for overlaying the Tyreek Hill story and the Addison Russell story.
Well, yes and no. There's no child as much involved in, with Addison.
As far as we know,
that's right. But we are talking about domestic violence. And we are talking about Major League Baseball investigating. And we are talking about a 40-game suspension. And we are talking about Addison Russell talking about how he is now trying to become a better person. And he's seeing a counselor twice a week. And I think that's all great that Addison is rehabbing himself. And I also would like to point out that, look, without giving a pass to Addison or anybody else who engages in that level of activity, but I do have a drop of sympathy for where did you come from? How were you raised that somehow, some way, you thought that this was acceptable behavior? Like, this was not just something that he picked up.
This is
something that he experienced. It's just sad that that's something that he had learned and had not actually taken responsibility for growing himself up.
And I want to say that's something he could have addressed in spring training when he addressed the media about the whole situation, and he did come clean about his actions and what he did to his wife at that point. And it's not a justification. It's not a way to make people feel, like you said, sorry for you, but it's a way to maybe express why you are that way and a way to make you seem human as well. But I think the fact was about that whole press conference is he kind of just got away with saying
he was very scripted.
I'm sorry. I'm going to do what I can to move forward. I'm looking about moving forward and then just move on. So I think he saw that as a win to just move on from the situation rather than dig a little deeper.
Well, and as we all know, it's a totally different day now. Melissa was able to get, there was a tension brewing because her friend goes on Instagram.
Right.
I mean, you go back.
That's a good point.
You go back 10 years ago, less than that. You don't have the access to get that out in the public.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, everyone's seeing it. So it's just, this is not like this is something that is just happening with today's ballplayers and it didn't happen back in the day. But there's so many more eyeballs on it from just walking around. You can't, you know, ballplayers, you're not going to see them out at a bar after a game because somebody's going to be there with their phone. Oh, I caught so-and-so drinking tonight. And it's 2 a.m. They can't do it. This is, and in some ways, it's great. And in other ways,
and I also think it's society that has become a lot of people complain about how sensitive society is now, but the fact that it's opening people's eyes to what people go through throughout their lives and how they're treated and the hardships that they have to go through. And a lot of times people don't see that, what, like you were saying, 10 years ago, because they just don't have access to those lifestyles. They you live in your own life, you live in your own bubble, and you move on, and then that's it.
And at the end of the day, the fact that you have to come correct all the time because somebody's got a phone and you can't act like a belligerent whatever, that you're gonna perhaps implode your entire career, that is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the same thing.
Don't act some way if you wouldn't want to be known as that kind of person.
I am going to bust out my phone if I'm walking down the sidewalk and somebody is acting in a way that's, you know, that they should be in jail for.
Right.
I mean, if I'm not going to physically get involved myself, 5'10", 180-pound Carm.
Well, you grew up a lot since high school. I heard that. What was that, 5'9", 95?
That was 5', 105 pounds going into high school.
Okay. Wow, 5'.
Yeah, prepubescent Carm. It's tough, man. I was not popular on the athletic field and or with the girls. Very tough.
I can't see why not.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe Brand. I appreciate that. All right, we will move on from Addison and the Cubs. Although, hey, one more quick thought. Who are you most concerned about, Joe Brand, baseball guy? Kyle Schwarber, Chris Bryant, Albert Almora. Who else should I throw in there? Ian Happ, who's down to AAA. All these guys were supposed to be hitting 300 and knocking 20 bombs at least, and none of them are doing it right now.
Concerned about in terms of this season or concerned about their...
Both this season and their future. We'll keep it to this year. Fair enough.
I mean, I'm worried about Schwarber. I really am. And he's a guy that I saw in the minors. He's a guy that I know Theo was basically his baby, his project, his prodigy, and things have gone south for him. But his work ethic is compared to basically everyone who's gotten past these types of hardships. I mean, heck, if Jason Hayward can do it, why can't Kyle Schwarber, especially with Kyle Schwarber's raw talent? But, man, he is just having a rough time with these inside pitches, and it seems like he tries to pull a lot, and he's having a tough time in the outfield.
Props to Jason Hayward for making the show in that manner. It's kind of amazing.
Right?
The dude's playing great baseball. All right, news in 30 seconds, 720 WGN.
This is not the time for the White Sox offense to get pooped out.
Nope. Stump got the first two in the eighth, and then the strikeouts, and he's got three of those. Jimenez does, and he deals with Tim Anderson. And the pitch swung on high, deep to left. Got a chance. Hit the trap. It's gone. Game-winning home run. Light it up. Sox win 12-11.
They had to give Farmio a day off after that one. The baseball gods said, you know what, let's just enjoy this for a day. We'll snow this one out. Joe Brand, Mark Carvin with you on The Beat on 720 WGN. That was an awesome moment last night. Where were you, Joe Brad, when Tim Anderson went deep to win it?
I had just gotten back from home, or back from the ballpark, rather. I'd just gotten home, and I was going to lay down. I'm like, you know what, it's the ninth inning. I got to watch this on TV. If they go to extras, I'll stream it in my room. And Tim Anderson saved the day, and I just could just go right to sleep and get up for my shift the next day.
That's a beautiful thing. So this brings me to an issue that I have, and I'd like to get advice from some veterans out there. Because as you get older, Joe, I know you're still a young man, and I'm entering the middle age of life over here, good old Carm. And I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I'm a huge NBA fan.
You are.
Right. Yeah. So the other night,
your heart was probably torn.
Right. Well, the other night, last night I was good. I came back home. I'm watching the White Sox. The fiance was out on a trip. I destroyed the house, so I had to clean everything up. I was making the bed. I was doing everything, so I had a lot of action keeping me awake. And I was there when Tim Anderson hit the homer. I get to be on Twitter, the whole thing. I'm living the late night dream. It was late last night. It was almost a 4-hour game. But so then earlier in the week, I'm watching Game 5, Oklahoma City Thunder, Portland Trailblazers. Great series. Damian Lillard's a stud point guard. So is Russell Westbrook for the Thunder. Teams don't like each other. A lot of drama. Elimination game, Thunder trying to stay alive. If you're a basketball fan, like, you love this. And the Thunder are up 12 in the fourth quarter, and there's about 4 minutes to go. And I'm like, oh, sweet, this is going to be great. This is going to be a game six, more drama in the series. This is awesome. And I start to feel the wave of tiredness come over me.
It just hits you.
And I know, as middle-aged Carm, that this is trouble.
Do you fight it?
So that's the thing. Right then, it's either fight or flight, and flight is I'm done. I'll wake up when it's over. I'll wake up.
You're leading to you miss the shot.
So exactly. So, and Curtis, if you could just find that on the old World Wide Web, the Damian Lillard jumper to win it, because so
85 feet out
from 85 feet out at the horn in one of the greatest. Certainly the best playoff game to this point this year, and maybe one of the best in, say, 5 years. Damian Lillard hits a 40-footer. The Portland rallies back from 12 down. Lillard hits this 40-footer. The NBA world's going crazy. Everyone's talking about it on Twitter.
And what are you doing?
And Carm is dead to the world asleep.
Sawing wood.
So I just... Not only did I miss it, it's not good for my career. I should have been involved in the discussion right there. There's a lot going on. And what I would like... 312-981-7200, because I know people can relate to this. I want to know how you fight through that moment in time where you're watching TV, it's the sports moment, you might miss something, and you don't give in. I want to learn about not giving in. Do you fall asleep as fast as I fall asleep?
No, see, but this is the thing. I just have a problem sleeping. It doesn't matter what I'm doing, what I'm watching, no matter what. I cannot fall asleep. Even last night, I finished watching the Sox game, then I streamed the Cubs game, and it still took me a couple hours to fall asleep, because that's just me. I don't think it has anything to do with my youth right now. Coffee? Five-hour energy? Then you're wired. Or no?
I need to, if I was actually coaching myself, let's do that for a moment. Carm, get out of bed, start walking around, get yourself, you don't need coffee right now, that's
some
probably a little
jumping
too,
jacks. Oh,
five jumping jacks, maybe a glass of water, and then when Damian Lillard goes bananas, you get to be there. I mean, this is how it sounded.
Portland has a timeout. Lillard, a chance to send the Thunder home. Lillard, long range three, and it's good at the buzzer. Damian Lillard, are you kidding me?
Is that BA? Brian Anderson?
I think it is. I think that's the Portland call right there. I mean, the basketball world went bananas from. And it was awesome.
That took hold of everybody, all just mediocre sports fans, too, and you were sleeping.
I was sleeping. There was also Game 7 in the NHL going on that night. I mean, everything was going on.
And that's rough. I mean,
it's just a bad job by Carm.
I fell asleep during the 18-inning World Series game this past year, but that was 18 innings. I mean,
that's a good question. What game did you fall asleep
in
where you just you gave in, you didn't fight, and you missed it?
I know some Sox fan friends of mine who were of age and were out partying for Game 3 of the World Series, the one that went 14 innings, and the next morning they woke up and said, "Oh my God, did they win or not?" Because this is, maybe you could, yeah, I guess you could check online, but typically you wait for the paper still in those days.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine that, waking up in the morning? Wait, what did happen?
Well, that was, right, that was then, and then this is now. I wake up, it's 3 in the morning, I can't help myself, go to the phone, I start scrolling through, what was the final? 118, 115 Blazers. What happened? Then I've seen all these pictures. It's like, oh God, what a disgrace of a human being I am. I mean, I can't even own, like, if you're a big NBA guy, you can't fall asleep there. Although I did see a bunch of people who did tweet the next day, "I fell asleep, missed it."
I do remember coming out of a booth right when the season started for the minor leagues when Derrick Rose hit the shot against the Cavs. The stair face, and I remember turning on my phone the moment he hit the shot, because our game had ended right when he just loads up and shoots it, and I said, wow, that I watched 3 seconds of this game, but it totally mattered what 3 seconds I saw.
I was at that game in the press box.
Did you watch the documentary?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did. Very much so. I was at that game in the press box. It was not my most professional moment as a broadcaster. When
you've
that
got
shot
a lot
went
of
in.
Non-professional professional moments. So there's that. There's the, wasn't there a World Series you attended where you may have been most vocal?
That I wasn't vocal, but I was definitely affected by what was going on in the field. There's video taken by Kevin Powell on that one. I can remember when I first started out, Joe Brand, there was this thing called the sports ticker. And in the last row of the press box, there was a dial phone or a push button phone, and you would sit up there on the phone during the game talking to somebody somewhere. And you would say, "It was ball one, strike one, strike two, ground out, 6-3, shortstop to first." And you would relay exactly what on. That was a gig. You got paid $50 a game for that.
Wow.
And
who was receiving all this information?
It was this, like, the sports ticker, I believe it was called.
Okay.
A lot of the old press box guys, like Bruce Levine, was controlling that thing, and I was there as an intern one day, and there's Bruce, and somebody tells me, "I can't do the ticker tomorrow," and I was like, "Hey, what's the ticker?" "Oh, I could do that." And he was like, "Can you be here tomorrow?" "Yes, I can be here."
Can you stay up all night for
the
game?
Can you not fall asleep
up
there?
Then you could.
Right. And I remember as of, you know, my first year working, doing things in a press box.
That sounds like a great gig.
It was, you know, for a young kid, you were like, oh my God, I get a real credential and I get to be here and watch the baseball game and I'm getting paid for this. This is awesome. And then Brant Brown hit a home run to win the game, and I like jumped out of my seat in the last row of the press box. And then the Cubs.
Did you forget to tell me? To tell? Oh, okay, I see. Yeah. That's funny. I've got a Brant Brown story. He was a roving instructor for the Mariners, and we were playing them. The Clinton Lumber Kings were the team, and I had to get an interview with him. Ask him about 98. Ask him about the Sano thing. He brings me into his clubhouse. We have a great conversation. He tells me about how it seemed like Sosa hit a home run every day that month. Walk out of the clubhouse, go to hit save, and I accidentally hit delete.
Ooh, it's a terrible feeling.
And it was just gone. Gone.
You're like trying to hit back.
Yeah. I tried downloading a couple bootleg things that could retrieve it, and it was total viruses. Would have erased my phone had I gone through with it.
Yeah, I've been there. Been there, done that.
I think you have. Actually, oh man, the time you let me borrow your recorder to go to Bears practice and I sent feedback throughout the entire podium.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was me, yeah.
That was a strong job.
I'm kind of envious about your Brant Brown story after dealing with that.
Yeah, well, that was a moment in time.
Mark Trestman and Brandon Marshall just giving me stare downs up at the podium.
What year was that?
2014.
Wow. Joe Brand taking my recorder, ruining Bears press conferences. That's awesome. We should mention your Chicago Bears, by the way, on draft day right now. Just a quick little left turn segue. So I'm super excited about what's coming. I think the Bears I predicted that they would move up, not to pat myself on the back here, because they're in their window, and they did exactly that, getting a running back in David Montgomery, who they feel is going to be obviously a big part of the 2019 club. But you're talking about Mitchell Trubisky going into year three. You're talking about Matt Nagy going into year two. Ryan Pace has been here more than a minute now. And you're also talking about Allen Robinson in year two with the Bears. Tariq Cohn, Trey Burton, Anthony Miller, Taylor Gabriel. Long list here. You're adding in Cordarrelle Patterson, Mike Davis, first-year guys. Adam Shaheen, in theory, should be a lot better this year. So that offense, everybody I just named, offensive players, that offense should be on another level, and you pair it with the defense. I don't know if they're going 12-4, 11-5, 10-6, but I think it's going to be one of the three, and they're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to have a great shot at it. That's how I see it.
I think it's fun, too, how last season it was a lot of what toys could you complement Mitch Trubisky with all these wide receivers, and now this year they address the issue of not having running back depth, and they hopefully have hammered it. Adam kind of, you know, really broke down David Montgomery's game, but I think the main thing is he's not one of those guys that he's not going to Adrian Peterson it and go all day and go down the field and have these huge runs. But do the Bears really need that? Not really. They just need the option in the backfield where he could pitch a pass back. He can be an option. He can be a threat. He can get creative in the hole and get through, and they can gain some yards. If the Bears are at third and long or third and 10, they're going to throw the ball anyway.
Right, and you're not, listen, they're drafting in the third round, even though they're moving up. You're not right. Going to get the guy that that could break it like O.J. Simpson. There's a name back in the day. Adrian
hitting
Peterson.
Our theme.
Right, exactly. Well, they're all hit it. O.J. hits it. Adrian Peterson hits
yeah,
it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
keep on going here. I'll take a right turn on that one, just the positive. I'm getting a text here, or we're getting texts about what about Clayton Thorson. Clayton Thorson is a Philadelphia Eagle, fifth-round draft pick of the Eagles today. Congrats to Clayton, who had a phenomenal career at Northwestern, winning bowl game after bowl game, three-peat, and now getting a chance to go to the Eagles, which is, I think, a great spot for him to
land. I'm rooting for him because I'm still salty about Carson Wentz beating the Illinois State Redbirds back in 2015 in the FCS championship. North Dakota State, and, you know, hey, he doesn't have that bad odds. Carson Wentz been kind of banged up the past couple of years. Maybe Clayton Thorson will get some play time.
Right. A lot of NFL guys.
You call it, right, the golden age of Northwestern athletics right now. I mean, he's kind of right in the middle of it. So, yeah, ride that success.
There's no doubt that they're, I mean, just winning bowl game after bowl game to win the Holiday Bowl this year. I mean, for a while, the narrative was, when is the Wildcats ever going to win a bowl game? Well, they've been doing it year after year now. I mean, Dave Ennett is living the dream. They're still trying to raise the bar in Evanston as, you know, if Jim Phillips or Pat Fitzgerald or Chris Collins is on the air right now, they'd be saying the same thing. that, you know, the goal is, the Northwestern's goal is to win the Big Ten, to go to the Rose Bowl, to win a national championship. So there's still that mountain to climb left. But the fact that they're consistently, every single year, winning 7, 8, 9 games and then going and winning a bowl game, it's been pretty damn impressive. It's certainly a long way from when a young Carm was going there and watching Dennis Green and Willie the Wildcat and hoping to win one game. Because that's what it was. I mean, everybody who's ever a Northwestern fan remembers that.
Going back to David Montgomery, because I know we've constantly talked about what he does on the field and off the field. Did you realize he's also an Eagle Scout?
Yeah, right.
Who's your favorite Eagle Scout?
I don't even know if I know any Eagle Scouts.
I know. I you know what's weird? There's a lot of broadcasters that are Eagle Scouts.
Are you serious?
I think in the minors mainly only. But Gerald Ford, Neil Armstrong, Steven Spielberg was an Eagle Scout.
How do you get to be an Eagle Scout?
That you got to go through all the ranks of Boy Scouts.
Were you a Boy Scout?
I think I was. I think I stopped at Cub Scouts.
Yeah, they didn't do that where I grew up. I was never in the Boy Scouts.
No.
Maybe my parents.
What did they do?
I don't. We'd go out in the backyard and do something. Have fun.
Fall asleep during big games.
Right. That's it all. Well, and then it makes me think of my most famous sleeping moment, Joe Brand, as we go to break, which was before a White Sox game at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Oh, I've heard this.
Where I took a nap before I was supposed to vend.
Mark Giangreco exposed you, right?
Yeah, they filmed me, and it ended up on the 10 o'clock news. Giangreco just like, look at that pathetic individual sleeping before the ball game.
Pathetic individual. He did not say pathetic individual.
He might have said pathetic individual.
I know he's been harsh, but pathetic individual?
looks like a guy doesn't deserve a paycheck today. Look at that guy. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN.
This is the David Kaplan Show.
What's wrong with cleaning my closet?
It's just your excitement for it is frightening.
I enjoyed it.
You know what I'm doing tomorrow? I'm cleaning my closet, pal.
It's cleansing.
It's a very rewarding thing at the end of the day.
Cathartic.
It is very cathartic. Very good word, Rob. To see how brutal my bedroom looked with stuff everywhere. And then when I got done,
I'm sorry, Mama.
Before my wife got home from work,
I never meant to hurt you.
We had the day off.
I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet.
Wow, it looked magnificent.
Want to come over and see my closet and see how clean it is?
I'm actually thinking of asking Cap if it's okay if I come over and help him.
Peace and WGN radio time when Joe Brand was producing a program that I was on with David Kaplan.
I thought I sent Curtis a different one, but that was still pretty good.
Okay.
It was still pretty entertaining. I thought it was the one where you filled in when he was on vacation, and we were playing None of Your Business.
Oh.
And they...
That's radio history, man. Those were the days of...
They asked me, the producer, to say, who do I dislike the most in the other room? And it was you, a certain Jordan Burnfield, and that was it.
Oh, who'd you throw under the bus? You say me?
Well, I'll give you a hint. It wasn't you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's huge. Thank you for bringing that up there. I'm going to walk home with a smile on my face through the snow tonight, Joe Brand. Which, by the way, that's what I'm doing. I am walking out into this...
Winter Wonderland.
I'm going Winter Wonderland. I'm going to try to get a snowball going. I think everybody should embrace our last bit of snow. I know people are complaining. This is a beautiful day out there. Embrace the snow. We don't normally get this on April the 27th. A lot of people texting in about the Bears today. People are asking about can you remind us why they got rid of Jordan Howard from Julie? Jordan Howard... couldn't catch the ball out of the backfield.
Right.
That's the main reason. And Jordan Howard, he also wasn't, outside of not catching the ball, he wasn't going to give you breakaway speed, take him to the house either. So, nice player, but I thought his value was pretty well determined when the Bears are trying to trade him to anyone and all he could get was a 6-round pick.
Yeah, he didn't really fit into Nagy's plan, and I don't think Nagy really... tried to utilize him as much, even if he could have, I think, 26 targets last year, 20 catches. So, I mean, this is why it's a better fit where you just get a running back that Nagy approves of, that likes the fit, and just implement him that way.
And for the record, I'm rooting for Jordan Howard.
I am too.
You know, he was a good dude here, going to Philly. Maybe Clayton Thorson will eventually hand the ball to Jordan Howard. We can have a Northwestern, Indiana, Chicago, Philadelphia Eagles connection, if you will. Who, by the way, beat the Bears in the playoffs, tied it all together, and then went down to New Orleans, should have beaten the Saints, but a ball slipped through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey, and yeah, the Saints should have been in the Super Bowl, but then there was a pass interference call that wasn't made, And
there's a lot of ifs and would haves.
You ever think about that? Like, if you weren't in this spot at that time, then this would have happened.
Oh, every day,
right?
Every
like,
day.
If, like, I'm sure if you could tie a bunch of things together that have led you to the Kane County job.
Yep.
That you wouldn't have had if you took one step the other way.
Yep. There was one day I just popped into WGN. I still had my badge. They didn't cancel it yet. This was right after my internship, and good old Dave Ennett's walking around in the halls. He goes, "Hey, can you produce a Northwestern game next week?" I go, "Sure." I didn't know if I was even on the books yet, still on the books, but okay, took it, and that kind of bridged my way to being here still.
How about that? There you go. Well, if you had not done a good job to that point, Joe Brandon, Dave Ennett wouldn't have offered.
That's
that
why
to
I brought
you.
It up to get compliments.
That's how he works. Amy Guth is coming up next here, so the Saturday Night Special will be rolling at 7 o'clock, which was not the original plan if you're late to the party here. The White Sox and the Detroit Tigers were snowed out today, as you can see if you look out your window. Day-night doubleheader, July 3rd at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Have you looked at that series? It's a four-game series in 3 days. The White Sox have July 1st off and July 5th off.
I have looked at that
series.
And
the 5th is a Friday.
The 5th is a Friday. They believe the Cubs
They play the Cubs next at home, yes.
Yeah, you know how I know that is because I was, I'm a prisoner to the schedule and want to know what's going on. But B, I was looking at wedding dates for myself, Joe Brand.
That's right. And that's another parallel we have.
And I shouldn't care about whether or not I could potentially be working that day. But I was looking at the schedule because we were considering July.
Perfect.
We were considering July 5th. I'm like, it's a Friday. It's the 4th of July weekend. It's not a standard Friday. No one's working that day. Oh, look, the White Sox aren't playing either. This is perfect. And then we just couldn't pick a venue or get anything done, and it went by the wayside. But I was on top of my game with that July 5th, man.
So you have you chosen a date?
November 30th.
Okay.
You're at table one with Curtis and Roe and Dave Ennett.
All right, we all got to talk and make sure we pay the same amount in the card because I don't want to be the cheap guy.
Yeah,
throwing down.
No, if you could each just go with like a nice $10, and that'd be great. And I'll put it towards my hopeful distant cousin's bar mitzvah somewhere down the line here. All right, big plans for the evening, Joe Brand. Are you going to watch some NBA basketball? Let me get one prediction out there for you. The Toronto Raptors are going to beat the Philadelphia 76ers and Jimmy Butler in that series, and I'll take the Boston Celtics over the Milwaukee Bucks. That series is going to be awesome.
All right, I'll double down with you. Sure, let's
thank
go
you,
with that.
Thank you very much. And also, good luck as texts are coming in, or at least one, for the Chicago Wolves. Are you aware of this, Joe Brand, what tomorrow is for the Wolves? Are you paying attention?
They're playing the Grand Rapids Griffins for the AHL Championship. Really? It's already the Championship Series?
Did you not know that?
I did not.
It says text, your 815. Hey, guys, you might want to remind everyone that Game 5 of the AHL Championship between the Wolves and the Grand Rapids Griffins is on Channel 26, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
I guess with Rockford eliminated, yes, we can root for the Chicago Wolves.
I've always been a Wolves fan. We got to take a quick timeout? Okay. All right, real fast, 30-second timeout in the news on 720 WGN.